Welcome into the Real Estate Investing Show. I'm Clayton Morris, the founder of Morris Invest, where we are a full-service rental real estate company. I hope you're all doing well. And today is our Q&A episode. So three of you have sent us great voicemails where you're asking your real estate or finance-related questions, and we are going to answer them right here on the old show. The way that you can also contribute, if you'd like to leave us a 30-second voicemail and ask your question, just go to our website. It's morrisinvest.com/Clayton is how you can leave a voicemail. Go to that link, and it'll allow you to record. Please keep them to like 30 seconds. We don't need to go longer than that, do we? No, we don't. Okay, here's our very first question today. This one comes from Kevin. Let's take a listen.
Okay, Clayton, here's my question. I have purchased one rental home and I put 25% down, rents. I'm probably making $900 off of the rent after the mortgage paid. So that's really good. My question is, can I use equity out of that home to purchase the next home? A refinance cash out. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Kevin, for the question. A great question. Obviously, there's a couple of things, questions I have for you. Number one, did you renovate this property? Have you added additional value to this property? Did you find an ugly duckling property and do a, you know, buy the BRRR method, B-R-R-R, which is buy, renovate, rent, refinance, rinse, repeat, basically. We have full videos on our right here on the channel all about the BRRR method. Also right on our website at Morris Invest, you can learn more about the BRRR method. So that's one question I have, but it sounds like because you got a mortgage on it, the bank would have approved the house already being completed, probably didn't need much renovation, but it's possible that you could have got a great mortgage and needed to put some updates into the property. But absolutely, I would absolutely take equity out of a property. Remember my rule, you cannot eat equity. And so if you have equity in a rental property or your primary residence, you can pull that equity out. Now, you'll have to get a little creative and look around for different lenders that are willing to work with an investment property for a home equity line or a refinance. But home equities are not difficult to find. You just have to shop around. Refinance is probably going to be your best strategy to be able to pull that money out of that property and roll it into another one. Obviously, if you have 25% down on the property, you're cash flowing 900, you've added value to the property. Right now in this market, properties are appreciating and interest rates are at like 3% or even lower. Last week, they dropped below 3% on a 30-year mortgage. So absolutely, pull that equity out of that property, roll that into another property. And again, I would be saving as much of my own money as possible. Like whenever we have a client that calls us or books a call with us, we want them to keep as much of their own cash as possible because we want them to use all the financing options we have available. So if you can take some of that equity as a down payment on your next rental property and then use the financing that's out there at 3% or 3.5% or whatever it happens to be, use other people's money, use the bank's money to build your portfolio. So thank you so much, Kevin, for that question. All right, our next question now comes from Maya. Maya, take it away.
Hi, Clayton. This is Maya. I had a question around utilizing credit to do a buy and hold deal. And I wanted to know first how to maximize your credit limits and how you were able to do that. And also, is it valuable to do that for a buy and hold deal? And how can you use that to your advantage?
Hey, thanks, Maya, for the question. I want you to remember that Robert Kiyosaki, the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, bought his very first rental property with a credit card. Now, it is simply just another financial tool in your tool belt. So when I hear people say that, oh, you can't use a credit card to buy rental property. Yeah, you can. Yes, you can. Especially if you have a great team behind you. Now, I just mentioned Fund and Grow, right? If you go to our website at morrisinvest.com/funding, you can learn more about what they do and you'll save $500 off your fee, your sign up fee with them. If you use our link to go through our website, they're fantastic, but I don't negotiate with the bank to get a higher credit limit. They do. So they'll set you up with business credit cards at 0% interest. It's brilliant. Now, the first round of funding that they got me was $175,000 to $180,000 with 0% interest. Now, that interest was good for about a year, I think 12 to 18 months. So if you're using that for a down payment on a rental property, Now, just like Kevin mentioned, being able to pull that equity out of the property, you could pull that equity out of the property, pay off that credit card amount, and do it again, rinse and repeat. And now you have access to this 0% interest credit line that Fund & Grow is able to redo for you every year. So you can continue to roll that. If you have that debt, roll it onto another 0%. Now, the next round of funding that I did with them was at, I got $90,000. So the first was like $180,000, then $90,000. So they handled all of that for me. I didn't do any of that. But if you're not going to work with them, that's great too. If you want to do something on your own with your credit cards, one of the things you need to do is just get on the phone with your banks and talk to them about increasing your limits. But you want to make sure you're getting 0% interest. And that's the beauty of working with them, because they'll get business credit cards set up for you. And they're going to get way higher rates than they would get if you tried to do this on your own. That is absolutely the case. Where you might be able to get $5,000 or $9,000, they'll be able to get you $25, $30 per card. And when you've got five cards, then you can use all of that cash to buy rental properties. So you need to be smart with it and you need to be diligent with it. But again, this is just another financial tool that you can use. You don't have to be scared about it. You have to be smart with it, just like getting a mortgage, just like getting a hard money loan. Now, I would say that I think the benefits of using this strategy are way better than a hard money loan. I've done hard money in the past, okay? And you're going to pay points, closing costs, points, and using this other credit card strategy, you're not paying those points. Yes, there is a sign-up fee for them, but it's not much. It's way cheaper than hard money. So that's why I'm such a big fan of them. But you can also work to improve your overall credit score. And that's another thing that they do. They have a partnership with KDM Credit. So when you work with them, they will actually get your credit score improved before they will ever even get you financing. They'll improve it so you can get the maximum amount. I had a 580 credit score a number of years ago because I had a foreclosure that I had to deal with back when I was just starting out. And I had to get creative with the type of financing I did. And I worked very hard to pay down my debt, to fix my credit score. You know, you're able to, we have a whole episode, if you want to listen to the podcast, we have a whole episode that we did on repairing your credit. So if you have some issues with your credit, please listen to that episode. I think we've got Wayne, the credit guy. He's a great credit repair expert that we had on the show. So please go and listen to that episode. But Maya, don't be scared of credit cards. Just don't be stupid with it, okay? Just treat it as another smart financial tool in your tool belt that you can use. And I still use it to this day to buy rental properties. So you can too. Okay, our next question comes from David. David, take it away.
Hi, I'm curious if you have a recommended cash-on-cash return amount that you use when you're evaluating a single-family rental property. Thanks. I enjoy your show.
Hey, thanks, David. So cash-on-cash return, what is the ROI that I look for on a rental property? We always want to be, look, your mileage may vary, okay? So let's think about a savings account right now. If you've got your money in like a Wells Fargo or Bank of America savings account, you're literally losing money every day, because you might be saving 0.001%, something like that. And the inflation rate in the United States is about 2%. And the Federal Reserve announced 3 weeks ago that they are now going to allow the inflation rate to run hot in the next few years, meaning above 3% or higher. That means if you've got money in a savings account, you're losing money every day. The value of your dollar is going down. Real estate is a hedge against inflation because it appreciates. It always has. So even if you have like a crash, it goes down a little bit, but always is up higher than inflation. So even a conservative 3 or 4% appreciation, which in many markets is way higher than that, you're still beating inflation just by owning real estate. So that's one thing to consider. Most people don't think about these things when they're weighing their return on investment. The other thing you want to look at is taxes. Remember, there is no better tax vehicle than rental real estate. Nothing. So think about the tax benefits that you'd get. You know, are you buying a new construction property? Like, for instance, we have cost segregation analysis built into each of our new construction properties. So when a client closes, they're able to take that in that same calendar year and accelerate that depreciation, basically getting their entire down payment back on their taxes because of a cost segregation analysis. I know this is a high-level ninja thing here, but very important. We have full videos on our YouTube channel about cost segregation analysis. Just go to youtube.com/morrisinvest if you want to learn more about that. But just from a cash-on-cash perspective, just like the sheer cash flow coming in every month, if you're making 2% in the stock market and you're making 6% from a rental property that you own, I'd take that. But the properties that we do at Morris Invest really are on the low end. Low end, we try right around the 8% net cash on cash return is what we look for. Really, we don't go much lower than that. Again, some, you know, mileage may vary a little bit, but mostly around that 8% net cash on cash return. Then if you factor in the taxes and the acceleration of depreciation because of a cost segregation analysis, you're looking at well over 20% because of those other factors. So again, David, I think, you know, your mileage may vary, but if as long as you're getting a good return that's beating inflation, beating the stock market, and is providing you that tax haven, go for it. 6, 7, 8%, still better than 2% or almost negative interest rates by putting your money in the savings account. So I hope you found that valuable. You can ask questions right here on the show as well, just by going to our website. Go to morrisinvest.com/Clayton is how you can leave a 30-second voicemail message, and we will try to get to your questions. We've gotten a lot of them. So we've got a lot coming in. We will try to answer them as quickly as we can right here on the show. And if you're ready to take the plunge into rental real estate, come on over to our website. Just go to morrisinvest.com. We have a whole blog there. You can learn so much with all of our blog content and podcasts. Spend some time there, learn a few things, and take your real estate investing to the next level. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time, everyone.